How can we forget your grace, Jesus? We thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us, for reminding us of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have our seat. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, will you please quicken our hearts in these few minutes to contemplate, to understand, and to appreciate the meaning of the cross and the meaning of Jesus' sacrifice for us. We all want to leave this place with a revelation in our hearts and with a new appreciation of what your sacrifice means to us. Help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we have a very wonderful advantage on this Good Friday. Of course, thousands of years later, we can call it a Good Friday. You know why we can call it a Good Friday? Because we know Sunday is coming. Hallelujah. We know Sunday is coming. We've seen the end. So we can call today a Good Friday. But can you imagine the first Good Friday? I don't think they call it Good Friday. I don't think it was a Good Friday. It was a terrible Friday. It was a Black Friday. If there was something more than terrible, I think they would call that, right? Just imagine the disciples watching the same Jesus, the Master, their Lord, the miracle worker, the all-powerful Jesus, being flogged publicly. You know, the Romans usually, they don't just use ordinary flog. The flogging was to hasten a criminal's death. It's a whip made of leather with thongs of various lengths inserted, interwoven with sharp and pieces of bones. And with every lash, the pieces of bone latches into the skin, right? And pulling it out. And that's the whipping. 39 lashes. This was to hasten and quicken and make the process of death even much more cruel. In fact, one scientist said, there is no artist that really can do a good justice to how Jesus looked after what he went through. And after that, the soldiers, they shoved the crown of thorns on his head. It wasn't just, they didn't place it. He shoved it to continue the torture and to further the bleeding and dehydration that they wanted to subject Jesus to. Don't forget, Jesus hadn't had anything to drink for at least 24 hours. So the combination of the beatings, right, the crown of thorns, the scourging will have set in motion an irreversible process of severe dehydration and what we call cardiorespiratory failure that he needed to subject anyone that has to go through the cross to. Don't forget the cross, dying by the cross, was a death reserved for the worst of all sinners. It's only a person considered cursed, unworthy, that is subject to the death on the cross. In fact, as the gospel tells us, Jesus was so emaciated by the time, the beating, the scourging, he was so dehydrated that he struggled to carry the heavy cross. Struggled badly, and he had to be helped by Joseph, the Arimathea. Just imagine the disciples watching Jesus go through this in their very sight. And finally, getting to the cross, the pain began again, another round of pain. Just imagine the pain of him being hung and driving those nails through his palm. You have to actually drive it through his wrist to sustain the weight as he's being held there on the cross. That cannot be a good Friday for the disciples. That's a terrible Friday. So the Romans knew that the victim, once he's hung on the cross, it would take some hours to die, because even the positioning subjects you to suffocation. So you are gasping for air as you are going through the pain of all the bruises in the body and the nail. Just imagine that as you process that in your mind. It's a pain that is absolutely unbearable. In fact, it was so hard to describe the pain that the English, they had to invent a new word called excruciating. You see, the word excruciating actually means out of the cross. Out of the cross. That's why Isaiah chapter 52 verse 14 says, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being that his form marred beyond human likeness. By the time they were done with him, it is not a sight anyone wants to behold. It's a good Friday today because we know Sunday is coming. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Sunday is coming. Peter was obviously hiding. Judas had just betrayed him. One of his own disciples. Mary sat down there crying. It looks like it was over. Satan is laughing. Death has won. Finally, Jesus is buried. A stone was rolled. The soldiers are beating their chest. All hope was lost during the first Good Friday. It wasn't good. But today, we can celebrate Good Friday. Today, Good Friday, is a celebration because we know Sunday is coming. Hallelujah. Sunday is coming. So the resurrection is really what makes crucifixion a beautiful story. Now, ultimately, crucifixion was horrible, but resurrection allows crucifixion to make sense. The purpose of crucifixion was eventually revealed and fulfilled in resurrection. Sunday signifies resurrection. That's when Jesus overcame death. Jesus had to go through the suffering to overcome the suffering. He had to go through death to overcome death. He had to go through all that so he can purchase for us salvation. So it can truly represent the worst punishment that can ever be meted to us. So no matter what we deserve, Jesus went to the greatest length to take the worst of punishment so that it can truly be a substitution for us. So that we all can be rest assured that our salvation was paid for and paid for in full. I want you to say paid in full. So nobody can say, well, maybe that wasn't too much. I think your punishment will have been greater than this. I don't think that punishment is enough. No, that's why Jesus said it is finished. It was paid in full. And that's why we can be confident, rather. That's why we can be bold. That's why we can be sure that the forgiveness of our sin is true, is genuine. Hallelujah. It's complete. That everything, the wrath of God, was satisfied completely. And we can have assurance. So no believer should have problem with assurance of salvation. There are people who struggle. The enemy tries to say, I don't think you were saved enough. I don't think your salvation is sure. Now you got to look at the cross and say, no, this, it was paid in full. Paid in full. Hallelujah. It was paid in full. And we thank Jesus for that. That's why it's important. It's important to have the fathers who came up with the idea of the Holy Week. I think they were led by the Spirit. Forget about people who say, we don't need to do all these things. No, I think God is behind it. We need a time to reflect. We need seasons of our life. The sad part is many believers, we actually take it less seriously than we should. And we think it's not a big deal. But I think it is. It is. It is an opportunity to reflect, to think, to do the readings that we've read, right? The song that we've gone through today, the prayer that we've gone through, it brings it alive. And it makes us to really realize the sacrifice involved in our salvation. That our salvation is not casual. There's weight. It carries weight. There's a weight to it. It's something that is so serious that it took God time to orchestrate and put together and ensure everyone that comes to Christ is totally saved, totally redeemed. and our salvation is genuine. Praise the name of Jesus. Sunday, as I said, signifies resurrection. In a few days, we're going to celebrate resurrection. But we are celebrating Jesus' conquering sin, conquering death, conquering Satan, giving us victory. Hallelujah. So a lot of things happen. He had to pay the price. He had to go to the gutter for us. But he also has to be alive to watch over his work. Hallelujah. So the author of our salvation has to be alive. He can't be some dead person that is not powerful to stand by his work. Hallelujah. No, Jesus can stand by his work. That's why he is the sacrifice, but he's also the priest who is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So resurrection is important. I'm going to read a passage even as we close tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 14. I'm going to read about 5-6 verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those who are falling asleep in Christ are lost. If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But thank God that he rose from the dead. Thank God our story did not end on Friday. It begins on Friday, but it ended on Sunday. On Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. So both the death, the burial, and resurrection, they are all significant part of God's plan for our life, for our salvation. By his death, he paid the price. He suffered on our behalf. He was buried. And by his resurrection, he gave us victory. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we also have hope of rising from the dead. He becomes the firstborn among those who are raised from the dead. It's a proof that we all experience resurrection. It's an encouragement that even when we die here, we are going to rise again. Because Jesus is the first fruit among those who are raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Because he rose from the dead, our faith is effective. We serve a living God, not a dead God. Hallelujah. Jesus told Mary, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Our Jesus is alive." Hallelujah. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sin, but we are not in our sin. Now, he paid the price of our sin. He was buried. But he rose to give us victory over sin. It's one thing to be forgiven of sin. It's another thing to have victory over sin. Hallelujah. And because of his resurrection, We are not in our sin. We live above sin. We overcome sin. And even if you are struggling with sin because of His resurrection, you have victory over sin. You just need to put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You just need to appropriate what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You need to take it and make it yours and put your faith completely. Because Jesus rose from the dead, believers who died, they are not lost forever. We have hope that we're going to see them again. Hallelujah. We're going to see our loved ones who are believers again. Hallelujah. Because Jesus rose from the dead, victory is ours. Victory is ours. We are sure of victory in every aspect of our life. So it doesn't matter where you are today, what you are going through. Victory is yours. You are assured of victory. Your story will not end in the grave. It will not just end in crucifixion. It will end in resurrection. Hallelujah. That's why we can rejoice. We can rejoice even in our tribulation. We can rejoice even in our challenges. We can rejoice even when we are going through difficult times, simply because we know victory is coming. Sunday is coming. We can call it Good Friday because Sunday is coming. Praise the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us this season to reflect. For giving us this season to pause, to contemplate, to meditate, to process the basis of our faith. It is heavy. It is significant. It is weighty. And will you help us not just to make it casual? Will you help us to truly, truly reverence, to discern your body? Just like you told the Corinthians and telling us, those who eat the communion without discerning the body of the Lord, we don't want to be like those. We don't want to be Christians who go about their Christian life without discerning the body of Jesus, without discerning the weight of resurrection, the weight of crucifixion, the weight of the burial, the weight of your suffering. We don't want to go through life just living like Jesus didn't suffer. Because if He suffered, then we have an obligation to live our life for Him. If He went through that much for us, living our life for Him is the least we can. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. The scripture says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That is reasonable in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's not too much for you to ask. So, Father, we present our bodies tonight. I want us to go before the Lord, church. Do you want to join me to pray? Can we rise up, if you don't mind? I beseech you. I'm going to read that scripture just to wrap up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. It's reasonable service. Isn't it reasonable for God to ask for that? After what Jesus did for us, presenting ourselves to God, I think it's a reasonable service. Can we lift up our hands and say, Lord, I present my body. I present myself as a living sacrifice for you. Holy and acceptable. That's my reasonable service. You're not asking for too much. You're not asking for too much. And I'm sorry, Lord, if there's ever been any thought that you're asking me for too much. No, you are not. That's reasonable. You gave so much for me. You went all out for me. Why can't I go all out for you? Thank you, Father. Help me, Lord. Open my eyes. Deliver me from deception of the enemy. Help me to be able to see things the way you see them. Deliver me from every deception that tells me that what you are asking for is unreasonable. It is reasonable. Living my life for you is reasonable. Living holy is reasonable. Pleasing you is a reasonable sacrifice. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats.